Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Cryptocurrency markets, notorious for their volatility, have been upended this week. What it could mean for the future of digital currencies.
The market is likely to enter into a prolonged period of declining prices and a significant reduction in trading activities.
And the S&P 500 slides deeper into bear market territory. Plus, another relic of the early internet gets put out to pasture. It's Tuesday, June 14th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Stocks wavered today after a sell-off on Monday landed the S&P 500 in a bear market. The major indexes ultimately ended the day mixed. The S&P 500 fell 0.4%, the Dow dropped 0.5%, and the Nasdaq gained 0.2%. Investors are keeping a close eye on inflation ahead of the Federal Reserve's policy decision tomorrow. The Fed is considering an even larger than expected rate hike of 0.75%. And a sell-off continues in crypto markets. According to CoinMarketCap, the entire sector has fallen to less than $1 trillion from about $3 trillion in November. We'll have more on what's roiling crypto markets later in today's show. Meanwhile, SEC Chair Gary Gensler is expressing concern that efforts in Congress to write legislation for the cryptocurrency industry could lead to regulatory loopholes for the market more broadly. A bipartisan cryptocurrency bill introduced last week by Senator Cynthia Lummis of Wyoming and Kirsten Gillibrand of New York aims to create a complete regulatory framework for digital assets. At the Wall Street Journal's CFO Network Summit today, Gensler said that cryptocurrency legislation could have implications for the broader $100 trillion capital market.
My concern in crypto, and particularly as it relates to legislation, is that in this very technical field, that there might be something done legislatively that undermines that a current stock exchange or current custodial situation or mutual fund says, wait, we're gonna have a different regulatory regime for similar things. And I quote sort of Aristotle, but it was like behavior should have like treatment.
The bill would take some cryptocurrencies out of the SEC's jurisdiction. U.S. suppliers' prices rose in May amid higher food and energy costs, adding pressure to inflation. The Labor Department's Producer Price Index, which measures what suppliers are charging businesses and other consumers, rose by a seasonally adjusted 0.8% in May, up from a 0.4% monthly gain in April. Economists have been watching producer and consumer price indexes closely for signs that inflation could be peaking. FedEx is boosting its dividend by 53% and adding board members under pressure from activist investor D.E. Shaw Group. The company is also adjusting its compensation plan for executives to tie cash bonuses to total shareholder return. People familiar with the matter say the changes come after discussions with hedge fund D.E. Shaw, which has also pushed for changes at giants such as ExxonMobil. Caterpillar is moving its headquarters to Irving, Texas, a Dallas suburb. The construction and mining equipment maker has been based in Illinois for 97 years, first in Peoria and then in Deerfield, outside of Chicago. The announcement comes a month after Boeing said it was moving its global headquarters from Chicago to Arlington, Virginia. Caterpillar said it wasn't getting any economic or tax incentives to make the move, but has said previously that the energy transition would lead to higher revenue growth. The House has approved a bill already passed in the Senate that would expand security protection to the immediate family members of the Supreme Court justices. The renewed push comes after an armed man was arrested outside the Maryland home of Justice Brett Kavanaugh last week. The suspect has been charged with attempted murder. Several controversial high-profile decisions are expected from the Supreme Court in the next few weeks, including a case that could overturn Roe v. Wade. And a panel of advisors to the Food and Drug Administration has recommended the agency authorize the use of Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine for children ages 6 to 17. An FDA authorization could come within days and would give parents a second option for getting their children vaccinated. Pfizer and BioNTech's COVID-19 vaccine was expanded to anyone 5 and older last year. Coming up, cryptocurrency markets have gone through periods of volatility and sell-offs in the past, but this time around could be different. More on that after the break.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
There's been a lot of bad news for cryptocurrency markets in the past few weeks, and there are no signs of it letting up. Bitcoin experienced a major sell-off over the weekend that has continued to deepen this week. The cryptocurrency has now fallen below $21,000, according to CoinDesk. Back in November, it was trading at over $67,000. Also, in just the past few days, Celsius, one of the largest crypto lenders, paused all withdrawals, swaps, and transfers between accounts, citing extreme market conditions. And today, the biggest U.S. crypto exchange, Coinbase, announced it was cutting almost a fifth of its staff. The move comes after Coinbase reported a decline in users and hundreds of millions of dollars in losses in the first quarter. Crypto markets are notoriously volatile, but taken together, the moves over the past couple of days are huge, and there are concerns that they could continue to ripple out into the broader market. Joining me now to walk us through this is Wall Street Journal markets reporter Vicky Huang. Hi, Vicky. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Vicky, can you start by explaining for us what's led to the recent sell-off in cryptocurrency? Give us sort of the order of events that's led up to what we're seeing playing out right now.
The entire cryptocurrency market has been under pressure since the Federal Reserve announced its intention to raise interest rates in order to rein in inflation, which has surged to a 40-year high. But the recent crypto market downward spiral really started when what was a formerly algorithmic stablecoin Terra USD and Luna token started to collapse. The crash of these two tokens erased billions in market value and wiped out the entire savings of many retail investors. So stablecoins are cryptocurrencies that peg its value to fiat currencies such as US dollar. Adding to the mix, on Sunday night, Celsius, one of the largest cryptocurrency lenders, which had about $11.7 billion in assets across 1.7 million users, said it would pause all withdrawals, swaps, and transfers between accounts due to extreme market conditions. Right after Celsius' announcements, cryptocurrency prices fell through the roof, with Bitcoin dipping to mid-20,000 ranges. As of today, the global market cap of all digital assets is about $960 billion compared to the $3 trillion market value it achieved at its peak.
What other ripple effects are we seeing in crypto markets as a result of this?
So right after Celsius' announcements, many other cryptocurrency lenders, such as BlockFi, came out to say that their operations and products and services are continuing as normal. But at the same time, as cryptocurrency prices are dipping and activities are dropping, many crypto companies, including BlockFi, are laying off hundreds of staffs. We also have Crypto.com, which spent $750 million last year buying the naming rights of the LA Staples Center, also announcing today that they're laying off staffs. So now we're seeing the industry-wide layoffs as one of the ripple effects for this.
And we've also seen the sell-off sweep into crypto exchanges like Coinbase. What exactly is going on there? Wouldn't an exchange typically benefit from increased trading activity?
So Coinbase is one of the most valuable and one of the largest cryptocurrency exchanges based in the U.S. The company said today it is laying off 18% of its staff. That's on top of already freezing hiring in May. Coinbase even went as so far as to rescind some of the offers that it already gave out to candidates. That has really hit the Coinbase stock, which has already fallen 80% this year. And this is happening to Coinbase because the crypto trading activity has experienced a significant drop this year compared to the bull market last year. And being a US-based exchange, Coinbase is also limited in terms of the number of services and products it can offer. And all of this has contributed to the current situation that the company is experiencing.
And Vicky, what about the exposure in broader markets for publicly traded companies with significant stakes in crypto? Are we seeing spillover there?
Yes, the cryptocurrency price declines has spilled over to crypto-adjacent or crypto-related stocks as well. MicroStrategy, a software intelligence company, the stock of the company is down 71% this year. The CEO of the company has made a big bet on Bitcoin and bought a lot of Bitcoin as its treasury reserves. As a result, the company is estimated to be sitting on an unrealized loss of $1 billion. Besides MicroStrategy, other companies such as electric vehicle maker Tesla and a fintech company formerly called Square, which has been renamed as Block, has also bought a lot of Bitcoin for its balance sheet. The companies are both sitting on realized losses as well.
Can you put this period in context for us? We usually say that crypto markets are notoriously volatile. Is what we're seeing now different than what we've seen in previous sell-offs?
Yes. So this crypto market cycle is a bit different because the last cycle during 2017 and 2018 was mostly retail dominated, whereas in this cycle, a lot of institutional investors, traditional investors on Wall Street, and tech investors in Silicon Valley got into the crypto market. They either started business divisions that focused on crypto or invested heavily in cryptocurrencies. So as a result, this downturn has hit a lot more important big players harder than the last cycle when the participants are more like retail investors.
As we spoke about earlier, we've seen investors turning away from riskier assets amid higher inflation. And as the Federal Reserve raises interest rates to help bring down prices, we'll hear the latest from the Fed tomorrow. But what is the expectation for crypto markets right now going forward?
The expectation for crypto markets going forward is that the market is likely to enter into a prolonged period of declining prices and a significant reduction in trading activities, as long as the Federal Reserve keeps raising interest rates and inflation remains at a multi-decade high. And in crypto speak, the industry is likely to enter into a crypto winter.
That's Wall Street Journal markets reporter Vicky Huang. Vicky, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you. It's great chatting with you.
And finally, it's the end of an era. After more than 27 years, Microsoft is pulling the plug on Internet Explorer tomorrow. For many years, the browser was synonymous with internet culture. In 2012, it was overtaken by Google Chrome. Today, Chrome is used by more than 60% of all web surfers. 20% use Apple Safari. And as of last month, less than 1/3 of 1% used Internet Explorer. Here's our reporter, Alyssa Luckpat.
I think in many ways, Internet Explorer being shut down signifies the death of early internet culture, because for many people, Internet Explorer was the internet. It was the place where you played computer games and, you know, surfed the World Wide Web. And now that we have these sleeker, faster browsers that carry less of this allure of what the early internet meant to people, it really just signifies that we're in a new era of the internet.
And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.